And welcome to Small Town, your hometown podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gaff, and today we are going to talk about the Armor of God. This is part three of our three-part series, so this is kind of wrapping it up. I want to shout out to everybody who's been listening and supporting this ministry. It's always appreciated. I just love how our little town is growing so fast. We're getting new listeners every day, and it's just great to see us come together in our hometown here. So let's dive right into the armor of God. So we've already talked about the other parts of the armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and the belt of truth. And it's kind of cool how each one of them covers a certain part of the body that's related to what it's supposed to protect us from. Obviously, it was done for that for a purpose. And to this week, we're going to talk about the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the word. And what it is it's cool that the shield of faith is, if faith is to maintain our faith, the shield of faith, if we maintain our faith, we can block for us and others. We can use our faith to spread safety. And what's really nice about the shield is that when you look at Roman tactics and tactics at the time, that shield was not only to protect yourself, but it could interlock with other shields. There's lots of battle plans, battle formations in which the shields would be locked together, and some of them literally would lock together. Some of them they would just hold tightly to form this wall to protect the people behind them, mostly like archers or the spears, so that they could kind of poke through and get. So the shield wasn't obviously an offensive weapon. And the only really offensive weapon in this is the sword of the spirit, or the word. And but the shield itself, it's interesting that they use faith for that, because the people that didn't have the shield had to have faith in the ones that did have the shield. And it's one of those things where you can believe all you want in it, but until you actually have to use it, then it's necessary. And so I think that's a real good idea of what faith is. Faith is our shield between us and the real world. We have faith in God that will make it through, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, that, you know, there is more than just this life. And that's where I think that the shield of faith comes in. Now, the helmet of salvation. Salvation, if the devil gets into our heads, it can be over, which is why salvation is used for the helmet. You know, a lot of times the devil plants seeds in our heads, you know, like, well, because God doesn't love you, that's why you didn't get that job, or because of this happened. And which in most cases is not the case. I mean, God doesn't just deliberately put bad things in your ways just so that he can test you necessarily. Some of it is on our own accord. We chose bad choices and now it's caught up to us. In other ways, it can be a test in faith, but the devil's the one that's generally likes to put that doubt in there that, well, God's testing you to see if you're really his, and if you fail, you're going to hell, which is not the case. If you fail, you just ask for forgiveness, redemption, and have grace and mercy. So, you know, we really need to protect our heads from Satan. And that's where also studying the word and everything else can help shield that. But salvation allows us to be free from that. And then we have the sword, or which is the spirit or the word of God. And the sword is really the only actual weapon that you use to attack. And we're not attacking others per se. Now, occasionally, yes, we rebuke some people that are not preaching the correct word. You know, they're doing a perversion of the word, or just not even saying anything at all that's remotely close to what the Bible has to say. I mean, you can have somebody who says, well, you know, Jesus and Satan are brothers, and God is both their husband, is their father, and when I die, I get a world to my own. That's not Christianity that's not the Bible. So, you know, we use truth to rebuke them, but we use truth for when Satan does test us, or when our faith is tested. We strike back with the word. We can look into the scripture and find solace in knowing that someone else has gone through this type of predicament in the past, and this is how we can handle it. It's also kind of interesting that the belt of truth would generally probably hold the sword of the spirit or the sword of the word. So the truth holds up the spirit or the word. And that's really where truth and the word is one. Because we know that the Bible is true and that what's written in it isn't necessarily just somebody's thoughts and feelings. A lot of it is written, you know, through eyewitnesses, especially the New Testament is basically all eyewitness accounts, verified and backed up. So it's not like it's a fifth hand, sixth hand. This is deciphered from some other things, all this stuff. We know that it's the truth, and it's know that it's the word of God. Now, whether or not which, you know, version you read can change, which we've gone over with the different types of Bibles. So I think that's where it comes into play. A lot of people find that the word or can be have trouble when you start using false Bibles like the Message or the Passion, where it's basically somebody's interpretation of the scripture to kind of bend to their will or to justify their thought. And so I think overall, looking at the whole armor, since this is kind of the wrap up, you know, once again, we have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the spirit, the shield of faith, and the feet of peace. We've gone through all of them now. We kind of see where this all plays into different parts of the Bible. And when we come back from the break, we're going to look at some scripture now that goes over the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword of the spirit. And where we see that Paul not only gets it from God himself, Christ, when he's in prayer, but also we see it in the Old Testament and some other writings too, and in some cases even Christ's own words. So I think when we come back from break, we're going to read those. But like I said, this is kind of the wrap up for the armor. I think this has been a good series to kind of get us fitted for the spiritual battle that's happening nowadays. A lot of people are coming under fire for being Christians. There's a lot of churches that have given Christianity a bad name. They've become very popular. We've got a lot of people prophesying when they shouldn't be prophesying and saying things and not have, and it doesn't come true. And then they're like, well, but I'm right. It didn't happen like I had thought. Well, that's false prophecy. So this armor kind of protects us for when the world says, see, that Christian was wrong. And this is why Christianity is wrong today. Well, that person, you know, everyone wants us to judge everybody on person by person, except when it comes to apparently Christians, then we're all lumped in together with anyone who says they're a Christian, even when they believe outside of even the actual Bible, and it's, you know, some golden tablet found up in Michigan or something like that. It's just not completely the Bible. So we get a bad rap when it comes to Christianity. So it all lumped in together, even if it's not true Christianity. So I think we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to look at a few scriptures that kind of point to these as well. So we'll be right back. And welcome back to Small Town, your hometown podcast. And thanks for listening through that small break. What we're doing is wrapping up our Armor of God series. This is part three. We've talked about now all parts of the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the spirit, the shield of faith, and the feet of peace. Those are the parts that we've gone over. And this week we are going over the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword, which is of the spirit or word. So let's dive straight into it, into some of the scripture that backs up what Paul was talking about, and where we get it. So first one is Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abraham. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." So right there, God's already saying, you know, your shield is me. I am your shield, which is the shield of the shield of faith. Then we hear 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So here we're talking about through faith that we have this shield to be protected. And that's kind of where Paul pulled that from. Once again, Paul a lot of times makes reference to the Old Testament and even some of the New Testament when he was making his writings to the Ephesians, which was where the armor of God comes from in the Bible. And so it's interesting. A lot of people have a tendency to say, well, Paul wrote his own thing and that Paul's version and the New Testament on everyone else is different. And so you either believe in one or you believe in the other. I believe that it's the same. I think Paul's vision and what he was going through gave him a different perspective, but it all ends up being the same. You just have to dive into it. All right. Next, we're going into Psalms chapter 35, verse 3. Draw also the spear and the battle axe to meet those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. So here we're talking about the helmet of salvation, where he is the salvation. We're bringing up battle axe drawing spear. This is where where David's talking about all of the war type of deal that we're going to be dealing with spiritual warfare, even back in the Old Testament. And it's saying that, you know, God is our salvation. We need to get that in our head that God is our salvation, not man. And then here we go, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. But since we are of the day, let's be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So here we're also talking about the breastplate of faith, and then also the helmet of salvation. All right, now we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Now, here's where accurately handling the word of truth. And this is where I have problems with some people who tend to spout off Bible verses and to try to justify some of their living, which is clearly either a cherry pick or a, I'm not going to read the context before and after it. I'm only going to read this one particular verse, and that's going to justify everything. Or they're going to look at something and say, well, he didn't necessarily say all, you know, women should do this. It's just saying this particular or just that this particular thing can happen. It's really hard when you don't have the truth, but you have to expertly and accurately handle the truth. And then here we have Revelation, which I normally don't do a lot of Revelation stuff. I'm not really strong in the Revelation book. The end time I find fascinating, but as far as an expert or even someone who could give a real good definition of Revelation. I'm not very good, but this one is pretty easy to understand, and I think you'll see why. So Revelation chapter 19, verse 21. And the rest were killed with the sword, which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Now, the sword that they're talking about is the sword of truth, obviously. The sword of the Spirit or sword of the Word. Because it's coming out of his mouth. So here we see that John's talking about where the Word is the sword. And that's anybody could look at that and kind of see that that's how that's read. Now, like I said, Revelation, I love reading Revelation, but as far as being able to break it down and everything else, that's not going to happen for quite some time. I'm still looking into it. I would love to do one, but I'm not sure if that's what I'm going to do. So that's going to kind of wrap up the armor of God. We spent quite a bit, 3 weeks on it. You know, the first week we just kind of talked about it a little bit and how they're all interconnected. And then we broke it down three at a time. And I think that really shows how connected the Bible still is relevant to what's going on. Everyone seems to think that, well, it was relevant back then, but nowadays we have computers, we have all of this. And I say, you know, that's kind of, that's wrong. Not kind of, it is wrong. The Bible is still relevant today. You find situations where in this world that they faced back then. David had an extramarital affair and had a child. You tell me how that isn't going on today. Now, we don't have people hearing God and having them bring their son to a mountain to sacrifice them. I mean, at least not in the U.S. all the time. But, you know, we don't get everything like that. But do we get trials? Do we get what could almost seem like 40 days in the desert? You know, yeah, there's lots of times where I feel that 40 days out and just, you know, I'm just lost. So I think that the Bible is still relevant. And this armor is extremely relevant, even today. I mean, we are at war, whether you believe it or not. Now, the war itself is not a war against another church. It's not against necessarily even man. It's a spiritual, you know, the devil is working against the church, whether through people, false prophecy, through people, you know, claiming things that happen at the church, or even other churches that are completely off the rails. And they're also blaming other churches for what's going on. I mean, it's in total disarray. And so we need to protect ourselves and our family. And I think this is what the armor allows us to do. It allows us men to protect our family with the spiritual guidance that we need, the biblical background that we need. We know that we have to protect our head. We have to have feet. We need to be able to run to peace. And we need to be able to protect our family with the shield. We need to attack when we need to attack with the word accurately. We need to have truth around us at all time, and we need to have righteousness. We need to protect ourselves with righteousness. And not always righteousness needs to be that we're always right, but to know that what's going on and how to correct the situation and how to find ourselves being able to ask for that forgiveness and mercy through Christ. So I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. And then next week, we're going to hit a whole new topic. I'm still kind of praying about it. I've got a couple ideas tossed around. But if you look on Instagram or Facebook, you'll see where I'm going to probably pop that on there towards the middle of the week. So as always, if you have any comments or questions, you can go on Facebook. You can email me at smalltownwithmattgaff@gmail.com. And I just hope you have a great rest of your week, and I'll see you next week.